Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a really tough thing to openly kind of, you know, have out there, because the guys who actually have to go out there and have their arm bent back 180 degrees or, you know, or whatever is going to happen physically, that's crazy. You know, if they think that it's not real, then it can get really ugly. So I don't think I've ever met a player who either was on board with tanking or, you know, cool with it.
Speaking of bizarre, Mike, Bruce Irvin made some comments after the game against Seattle, in which the Raiders, you know, got handled. And he said he was going to spend some, you know, quality time with his wife. And a lot of times we think these players are machines, and we know they have lives off the field. But how did that play in the locker room? And if you're John Gruden, do you think that got under his skin? Because me as a spectator, it kind of bothered me, because I felt like he wasn't 100% emotionally invested.
Okay, wait, I think I missed this. Sorry. Tell me again. Bruce Irvin, he said on Twitter?
After the game, he said, you know, I'm going to go home to my beautiful wife, and I'm going to
make some babies.
That's what he said.
I think we should all be happy as a fan if baby making's going on.
That's no doubt, but right after the game, Guru, I thought was odd.
Guru had a little bit of a problem with it. I said, nah,
I thought that could have been a shot, Mike. I thought that could have been like, you know what? We lost. I'm not really that focused, but it sounds like I could be wrong.
I just don't think, I don't know. I think the notion that people focus 24 hours a day on, you know, one thing is romantic, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think it matters. I think Tom Brady could go make babies, you know, 7 days a week, make beautiful babies, and still be Tom Brady on Sunday. I think, you know, lack of focus is when you're so caught up in, you know, maybe a contract dispute or the way your boss is treating you or your relationship with your coach that, you know, you just can't get out of your head and perform right. But, you know, to me, it's, we're overthinking this. If Bruce Irvin said that after a win or after he had a couple of sacks, I think it would be taken differently. But just because they lost, you know, to me, again, this is just people saying stuff on social media, but when I see something like that, to me, that's just like reading, you know, listen, man, my kid's still going to hug me when I walk through the door. I'm still a dad. The world's not ending. This sucks, but I'm trying to keep this in perspective. I don't know. I just think, you know, remember, it's a zero-sum game. Every time Patrick Mahomes wins a game right now, which is an awesome story, somebody else is losing one, and you've got highly competitive people who hate losing, and everybody processes it differently, but the bottom line is losing sucks. And it sucks for everyone in the organization if it's a normal NFL organization.
Mike, I didn't know I was going to go here, but I'm gonna anyway. Do you think there's something to foot? Okay, everybody's got that 10-minute cooling off period in professional sports, whether it's the NBA or mm-hmm. whether it's Major League Baseball. After a game, the doors are shut, and then they open them up to the media. Is it harder for a football player because the game is so physical, it's so violent, it's probably more emotional? Because there are fewer games. I mean, are NFL locker rooms crazier in a way after a game than in the other sports?
In a way, but in a way it's more mellow because they're coming back down to, you know, humanity. Mm-hmm. And listen, first of all, it's not 10 minutes anymore. Like, we used to sit and yell at the door when it wasn't open by 10 minutes. It's way longer. And listen, you know, I like the cooling off period, and here's why. I have three kids. They all played or play sports. My daughter, my oldest, she needed, I would say, a 25-minute cooling off period to talk to anyone but me. And even then, like, her friends on the team wouldn't really talk to her for like an hour after a game. And that was after a win. when she played well. So, I mean, trust me, I've lived the cooling off period. I had to keep her and her mom apart, you know, for an hour after game. She just, some people just get in the zone and it takes them a while to come out.
Mike, what did you make of the 49er-Packer Monday Night Football game? Was it more about the Packers needing almost a perfect game from Aaron Rodgers, or more about the Niners not being able to close out a game?
Well, good question. I mean, you know, I think if you're a Niner fan, it was very heartening to see, given the way it degenerated against the Cardinals. And, you know, it's not like the Cardinals look like one of the better teams. You know, we don't know how good the Packers are, but we do know how good Aaron is, and we've seen him do that to a lot of teams. So, yeah, I think if you're a 49er fan, you're thinking, wow, we could have really hung our hat on that victory. But, you know, they're probably not going to the playoffs anyway. And if nothing else, it kind of shows you that they do have the capability of competing this year in some of these games.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because we've heard Aaron Rodgers a little bit, I don't want to say complaining, but being critical of teammates. You think he's all the way happy in Green Bay right now?
No, but on the other hand, I'll go back to my earlier point, which is losing sucks, and they have a very high standard, even though they've only lost two and tied one out of their first, six. They, you know, that's not, that's making him unhappy. But I will also say this, and I'm not going to put words in Aaron's mouth, but I've been saying this for a long time. You know, when you have someone like that, to me, the idea that you would be passive during that window is, you know, unfathomable. And they, under Ted Thompson, had a regime that was like, hey, man, we're just going to build through the draft. We're not going to make any big trades. We're not going to really, you know, go out and try to get incredible weapons. We're just going to do it our way, and it'll be great. And, you know, Aaron covered up a lot of sins. And listen, man, I mean, it's real easy to say that when you have a guy who's so transcendent that he can make everything work when you've got some deficiencies. In my opinion, and I'm not saying this just now, I've been saying it for years and years, they have been derelict in their duties. They to maximize this special window, they should have been getting after it hard on the personnel front and trying to load up with as many people who could help him. And they could have had Marshawn Lynch in 2010. Aaron was openly campaigning for it, you know. So to me, they've won one Super Bowl. They came very close to getting to another, but for an onside kick and all that stuff. And I think they've underachieved in this window. And I don't think it's over. Aaron could easily win multiple Super Bowls, and you know, very well may. But I would be frustrated based on the way that organization has approached it. By the way, and I would also say, you know, they're not always the most aggressive team when it comes to play calling and building leads, which would also frustrate me. I feel like if Aaron Rodgers was with Sean McVay or Sean Payton, you know, certain coaches would try to be up 35-0 on you every time you played them if they had Aaron. And, you know, Mike McCarthy's done some very, very good things, but I just, you know, to me, there should be an overall aggressiveness that is not there.
Mike, I woke up this morning and my wife was talking about Steve Kerr and about what a great guy he is and what a special human being, and he's so enlightened. I mean, this guy's had to be a jerk at least one time in his life. You got a story where Steve Kerr's a jerk just once. I mean, come on. It's like he and Curry, you can't even dig up one little thing on either of them. You got something, Mike.
I mean, Steve's the worst. He's a complete prima donna. It's all about him, and he's got everybody conned. I don't know what to say. Like, he's just, you know, he's totally...
Did he ever lose his temper with you, Mike, when it was his fault, when he was in the wrong?
He's totally self-absorbed. This is unbelievable, man. I just can't let this stand anymore, this whole, like, Steve Kerr worship. Okay, a time when he was in the wrong. That's a great question. I mean, listen, you know, I just think that it's probably better if I don't answer the question.
No, I got you. I was just messing, Mike, but we always got to.
I'm more interested that you woke up this morning and your wife was talking about Steve Kerr. I mean,
we live in a political house. We live in a political household. Let's put it that way.
I feel like, you know, hopefully Bruce Irvin's wife is focused solely on the task at hand.
Hey, Mike, have a good one, buddy. I hear you're in Jacksonville, so enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, that was Michael Silver, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. And the question I have for Guru coming up, was last night a little too much about Kevin Durant?
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know how you know you're having an awful season?
Tell me.
When you answer a question by saying we're not tanking.
Wow.
And then you know you stink. If you have to tell people that you're actually not trying to lose on purpose. All right, that was a cheap shot on the Raiders. Say about the Niners. They're 1-5. Yeah.
Both, a different 1-5, though. They're giving you, it feels like they're giving you their all. The Raiders, to me, honestly, Stoney, they quit Sunday. And I don't know if they quit on themselves or on their coach, but that's why he came out with that.
So last night, the Warriors had their ring ceremony. And I'm going to ask you an honest question, Guru.
I'm going to give you an honest answer.
Did you notice when it happened, Durant's introduced last? Or didn't even cross your mind?
Didn't even cross my mind.
Me neither.
So is this the disease of me to all the people that thought about what that meant? Like, what's the big deal? Now, he did get NBA Finals MVP the last two seasons.
Okay.
I didn't know if, you know, it's not a diss, but this is what broke up the Temptations. I went last. You know, why is it a story
because,
to people?
Because... One of the Steph's themes house. Of the season is what's going to happen with Kevin Durant. And so everybody's trying to read into every little thing that's happening. Okay. All right. Let me play devil's advocate.
Al Pacino.
Durant was finals MVP. Great. You ready?
Yep.
How can you not introduce Steph Curry last? How can the Golden State Warriors not introduce Steph Curry last?
I'll give you that.
Now, I'm not really vehement about it. But
you could be, and I'm in that school now. Like, why was my man not last?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when it happened, I didn't really think much of it. Go on Twitter. A lot of people are talking about it. And so I'm thinking, okay, is there an argument to be made? Why didn't Steph Curry go last? I guess. I mean, we can make anything of it that we will. I must admit, I didn't notice it at the time, and I don't think it's a big deal.
I think we got it. Slow down. The text line has given me something that I want to share with you that I think we might have the answer. It's the sequence of numbers. So Steph's 30, Kevin Durant's 35, which would entail mean he was introduced last.
What number is Draymond Green?
Listen, Clay went first, 11. Draymond, 23. Steph, 30. KD, 35. That's four.
So the Warriors don't have a player with a number over 35? I mean, I don't know off the top of my
right,
head. I know how I am with numbers.
Yeah, I'm borrowing that, but I think that might... Listen, it is his house. It's totally his team. Now that I'm thinking more about... You think Steph noticed? Or was it the number thing and he's not...
I don't know. I mean,
I'm with you.
Know. I mean, it's one of those things where... Again, when it happened, it didn't even cross my mind. Look on Twitter. You know, some pretty respected media people are bringing it up.
Okay.
And I thought, I didn't even think of that.
And really. If you're KD, that's not going to get you to stay, right?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So why do it?
No.
Why risk pissing off 30? But Steph doesn't need
Steph's
to be coddled.
Contract.
Yeah, Steph doesn't need to be coddled anyway. This is his house and his team.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we got Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do with Tim. Just for you, Gu, I'm going to ask him all about the rings, okay? So, because you have a lot of questions about the rings.
And I love the reverse. It's like you got two rings because you coordinate your outfit. Now it's outfits. throw the blue.
Blue what?
You know how you get it? The one was gold, and then the other side was like a darker blue. So I'd have on, you know, my Stacey Adams, different shoes depending on the...
Goo.
Wrong guy. Right. I let my guy low deal. He know what
You're
I mean.
You're not going to believe this, but wait a minute. You wear clothes to match a ring? Or the ring to match clothes? Or what?
So, yeah, you coordinate. And if you got the blue...
It's a gold ring, right?
Yeah, but then you can flip it to where it's got that more blue in it.
Our producer thought they were a little bit tacky. Our producer.
He's conservative.
Actually, no, he wore gray today.
That's our guy.
He's on the he's on the phone. So, anyway, a lot of people are making the Kevin Durant thing. And then, of course, his brother. Tweeting today.
What's his brother's name? So when people say his name. Okay, gotcha.
Harry. Harry Durant was not happy about what his brother. But this is kind of what I mean. I mean, the Warriors and Durant don't really have control of this situation. I don't know that they ever can. I mean, for those two things to happen last night and for them to be brought up. I mean, this whole season with KD is going to be under a microscope if we're starting to notice those kind of things.
So
And I'm not saying there's nothing to it. I have no idea. I just thought it was interesting because it hadn't even crossed my mind.
So come next Monday, they play Phoenix. I think they got to go with the same sequence or this was an issue behind closed doors.
Well, I didn't pay attention to the starting lineups. I'm assuming Curry was last in the starting lineups, right? I'm pretty sure he was last, so I don't know. Let's go to Moose. Moose in San Jose. What's up, Moose?
Hi, Guru. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, man.
Hey, so it's funny you even brought this up because about probably 10 minutes before they even started the ring ceremony, I was sitting having dinner, prepping up for the game, and I literally said to my dad, I go, I wonder if they're going to call Kevin's name last. And I say that because he cares about that kind of stuff. I truly think that he looks at those kind of things as like a slight towards him or against him if they didn't call him last. And then my dad brings up the point. He goes, well, he was the finals MVP. Why wouldn't you call him last? And I go, yeah, that's true. It should definitely be that way. But the difference between how much of a stone cold killer the guy is, the difference between him and Curry is he cares about those things. Whereas I think Curry is okay with deferring. I think Curry has so much self-esteem and he knows in his own heart how good of a man, how good of a ball player he is. He doesn't care. He can defer to a guy like Kevin and still know at the end of the day he is the complete heart and soul of what this team is. And you said earlier about Kevin being kind of the stone cold killer in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the damn truth. I mean, that guy comes out and it's like, and I can't stand the ISO ball, but you know what? You can't tell the guy not to do it if he's going 17 for 23. I mean, that's kind of the game. That's the game he has in the finals. So,
no doubt.
So that's kind of my opinion on that. He thinks about those things.
Well, I appreciate the call, Moose, and let me just read you a tweet. And thanks for the call. Here was a tweet from Anthony Slater, and Anthony Slater, no joke. All right, he covered Durant in Oklahoma City. He's working for The Athletic now. Guy's tapped in, and he said, this is Anthony Slater's tweet.
Okay.
For those into overanalyzing recruiting breadcrumbs, Kevin Durant announced last in the ring ceremony. They went Clay, Draymond, Steph, and then KD to round it out. So
yeah, I'm not putting it. Yeah. And I'm sure KD didn't go to bed like, oh, that's it. If my decision, you know, hinged on when they announced me in the starting lineup, this wouldn't have worked from the jump. And they've got two championships out of this. So I get it. And we're in a world and society to where we're looking for those crumbs. But I think it's almost an insult to the players that, you know, they would be such the I love this thing now, the disease of me.
Well, we got to make sure it's that. I think I'm going to ask Tim Roy because he's going to know. We've heard both disease of me, disease of Moore.
Because my wife asked my son what he wanted for dinner the other day. He said hamburgers. I said spaghetti. And I tried to overrule. And then I went to, I'm using the disease of me.
Don't overuse it. Don't overuse
that doesn't
it
because
it's
there.
A trademark or okay. something. You got to be very, very careful. And then, of course, Durant's brother saying what he said.
I'm starting to believe him that he was saying get out to retire.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
I see the good in people.
I don't believe that for a second.
And
this is going to be fascinating.
You know, if you think about what Durant's doing, you could. Okay, Durant's going to be a free agent. Let's use the term breadcrumbs from Slater. If he is dropping breadcrumbs, maybe he's dropping breadcrumbs because if and when he leaves, he doesn't want the Warriors or the Warrior fans to be blindsided.
Now, that's interesting.
Like when Baron Davis took off.
Yeah. I couldn't believe he took off.
Oh, I could. He got a 4-year deal. He only had 1 year left. Well, what?
It's easy.
Yes.
I've not been in the pro athlete's shoes, but call me naive. And that's why I said if this season culminates in another chip, that supersedes everything or should in Kevin Durant's life. And because that means something to me, we're on top, I can never walk away. I would be, when will this thing end?
You can't say that, Goo. Because what you're saying is you're never going to leave here. There's no reason. Well, I mean,
winning should supersede everything, though. We're hearing, Silicon Valley Hollywood.
That's not a rule. The rule. What about wanting challenges in your life? What about going in a different direction? I mean, look, we've all talked about how KD sometimes doesn't feel like he's been fulfilled. So maybe he's going to win his third ring and he's saying, it's just not doing it for me here. I don't know.
Now,
I don't like when we talk about Durant and what he may do, like none of us really know. For example, like, okay, you said, well, if Durant wins three, he's going to want to come back and get four.
And I say,
well, I don't think that means anything to him. Well, you know what? I might be wrong. You might be right.
Okay.
Maybe four is his goal. I mean, I don't know that. I'm trying to kind of put myself in his spot and in kind of a player spot. Maybe you never know what motivates a player. So I didn't mean to say that's stupid or
no,
that's crazy.
Not at all. I'm not in taking it as such.
I don't know.
Now,
I don't know what he's going to do.
Pretty Woman is my favorite movie, and you don't know this about me.
I never saw it.
Okay. That explains a lot.
What?
But in my other life, I'm a movie of a film writer. I write films. And if Kevin Durant were to leave and he went to OKC, it would be like a movie because LeBron went home back to Cleveland.
We have Tim? Okay.
All right.
We got Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. What's going on, Tim? How you doing?
Not too bad.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
All right, Tim.
Sorry to keep you waiting. You're on your... you have a different kind of line, so we don't know. I didn't know exactly what you were on, so
That's
welcome.
All right. That's all right. I did not know the Guru was a film writer.
I am
intrigued.
I got a role for you, Tim.
It has piqued my interest. Pray tell, what sort of films have you written?
Well, we'll get that after the interview. That's going to be. We're going to use that as a
tease. Yeah.
All right, here, Guru. I want to ask you about the rings, Tim.
Uh-huh.
All right, now the rings that they put on Joe Lacob.
Right.
Those are the, like, how many people in the organization get a ring?
Just everybody.
But are they all the same kind of ring?
Like, no, there's different tiers. I mean,
tiers.
There's different tiers. I mean, those rings they got are really, those are huge. Those are
right.
Expensive.
So in other words, the players and the coaches and the front office get the big boys. And then other...
And I'm sure some of the execs get that, too. I mean, but you know what? The generosity of Joe Lake and Peter Guber, their ownership, has been incredible. I mean, there were people last time that we had our ceremony for all the employees. We have a separate ring ceremony. And, you know, there are people who are working down in Santa Cruz who got rings. I mean, that's not cheap to do that. And... I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing that they've done in terms of, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's not done everywhere like this.
What?
And it's pretty cool.
Well, here's a question I ask Guru, and then we'll get to basketball.
Okay.
Can you ever see a situation, Tim, in which you're wearing three championship rings out and about in the Bay or San Francisco or Oakland? I can see you with three rings. No?
No. No, but maybe if I was going to a speaking engagement and somebody said you got to bring them all, you know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not out and about in the public. We were to some social functions and once in a while going out with some friends and they, you know, will encourage me to wear one. So, okay, I'll wear one. But I could never imagine this day for me. I mean, I could never imagine that I would be sitting here and talking about this.
Yeah.
You know, and there are so many guys around the league who have been in the league as long or longer than I have. You know, and you think about all the years Ralph Lawler's been with the Clippers and they've never gotten to the finals. Al McCoy has been the voice of the Phoenix Suns since the early 70s and has been in two finals. And here I am, have done four in 4 years. And it's very humbling, and I don't take it for granted.
Well, let me ask you this, Tim. Have the last, and I mean this sincerely, have the last 5 years essentially made up for the previous 15 to 20? I'm serious.
Love it.
Well, boy, you know, it tends to gloss it over a little bit, doesn't
it? Really
it
really does.
You know, it does. You were there. Yeah. You watched some of that. And so it does tend to dull the pain, if you will.
I agree.
However, I have to go and check because Ray Ratto swears I'm still under 500, so I've got to check. He wants to know if they're going to – he told me last year he wanted to know if they're going to throw a party when I get to 500. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Tim, when you first started this job, there was no social media. You know, the second guessing wasn't, you know, at the level that it is now. And the elephant is in the room for this season is what is Kevin Durant going to do? And I think it's a bit unfair that, you know, people, reporters, they're doing their job, but they're fixated on that answer. And Kevin may not know. From your vantage point, do you think it's unfair? And we heard Kyrie Irving come out a couple weeks ago and say, hey, you know, I want to re-sign here in Boston. Do you think there's anything he can do differently? Or do you think, you know what, it's a bit unfair that this is the focus when this team's trying to, you know, three-peat?
Trying to make history and trying to, you know, get to five straight NBA finals.
Right.
You know, that's incredible. Yeah, I think it's unfair. I don't think it's fair to Kevin. I don't think it's fair to the team. But it is the world we live in, you know. And it's you know, the NBA is such a powerhouse. And maybe because we're in it, maybe I don't, you know, recognize it enough of the other sports. But the NBA just kills the offseason every year.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And I think that's part of it, because I think people just get, you know, they got their palms and they're going, hey, I can't wait for this offseason. This is going to be so cool. See who goes where. And, you know, and so they're waiting for that. But to me, the story is the season. You know, what happens this year? Can they get through to a fifth straight finals? Can they win another title and go three-peat and 4-5 and to, you know, further cement their place among the great teams of all American sports? I think we're now past, I think, just talking about great teams in NBA history. Now we're talking, you know, among great teams of all sports. That's what I think. And I think for Kevin, it's going to be tough because he's going to get that question. If it was me, I would have come out on the first day of training camp saying, okay, here's the thing. I have a situation in the offseason. We all know about that. I'm not going to talk about it. And that'd be the end of it. I wouldn't answer any questions. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the way I look at it, Tim, is forget Durant for 1 second. You could make a case, and it's a little bit of a stretch, but that three of the top five players on the Warriors are free agents, if you want to throw Cousins in there. So it's kind of obviously Durant's the big name, but kind of every year the Warriors have to deal with something, re-signing yep. Curry or going after Durant, deciding what to do with Iguodala a few years back. So in that sense, it's, you know, it's kind of business as usual.
Well, yeah, and also I think it goes and reflects to just how special this whole thing is, because, you know, this, you know, in a normal NBA situation, this probably would have been broken up about 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
Maybe after 2016, somebody would have said, no, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else, you know, and I'm going to go get, you know, I'm going to be on my team. But it's so special with this group of guys that not only have they kept it together, but they've attracted, you know, not just, you know, role players to come here, but also, you know, stars. I mean, this is incredible. And then, yeah, you're right. They face this every offseason. They faced something. Somebody's contract, somebody's situation was up, and yet they continue to plow right through it because I think the atmosphere and the culture that they have founded here, and totally reflected in last night when Stephen Curry calls up Eric Hauser.
Yeah,
who does that? I mean that's what they have here. That's the kind of situation the Warriors have here, and it's once in a lifetime, I think, or hopefully it's not. Hopefully it goes on for a number of years in the organization, and it just keeps, you know, building upon itself. But it's truly a special thing we're watching.
Tim, I tell Steiny every day, I yearn for the day that the big man will come back in the NBA. And young Damian Jones has been given some gifts from the basketball gods in regard to his body. And last night he did nothing to dispel. You know, if he keeps improving, he could be the guy. I know it's one game and prisoner of the moment here, but what did you make of his night, and do you think he has staying power?
Yeah, I do, because I think he's just learning now how he can play. I think he knows how to play, but it's how he can play with this team and how he can play in the NBA. And I think, you know, he's learning that, you know, hey, you know, I'm a big guy. They're going to have to deal with me. And he's got a huge, you know, NBA body, and you know, I would hate to get him mad at me because he's just so big and so strong. And I think if he gets mad on the NBA floor, look out! Somebody's going to pay for it, I think. But I think he's got upside, and I think he's going to get better and better. And I think, you know, when you look at Damian Jones, you look at a guy that I think in 2 years is really going to be something else. And in 2 years, I think we'll see. Maybe even toward the end of this year, we'll see when he gets one of those offensive rebounds that his first instinct may not be to look for KD, Steph, or Clay and throw the ball out. Even though he made some great passes last night, that one he threw to Durant in the corner underneath the bucket, that was a great pass. But I think, you know, he's going to learn that hey, I can finish here and I can get the ball in the basket. So when he gets those offensive rebounds, I think he'll be looking to score more as the year goes on and certainly into next year.
Hey, Tim, thank you so much. Appreciate it. It was fun seeing you out there last night, and we'll tune in Friday at Utah.
Any movie titles you want to throw at me, Guru? Movies you wrote for? You know,
One Flew Over the Cuckoo Nest. Don't sleep on that one. That's one of my favorites as well.
I'm telling you.
All right,
that's
how Robert Parrish got his name, right?
One of the greatest. Yeah, Chief. And yeah. Chief had the best line of the whole movie. He hasn't spoken the entire movie. Jack Nicholson gives him a stick of gum, and he goes, I like juicy fruit.
That's right. That's awesome. That's right.
Just awesome.
Oh, and then, of course,
Danny DeVito was in that movie?
That's right.
And young Danny DeVito.
And let's not forget that the Big Chief ended Jack Nicholson's life. Yeah. But it was for a good cause.
Good cause, though. Chief can play. A little post-up game there for the Chief.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys.
All right. Tim Roy.
I didn't know you knew about one of them.
So what are you talking about with this? You're a movie writer.
No, I have scripts in my mind that I want to one day, you know,
put onto paper
and then hire the actors and actresses.
Well, you're going to have to get a producer first.
Yeah, I got somebody.
Unless you got money to do it on your own.
No, I got multiple guys in my camp. We just need funding.
Well,
we got a role for you too?
No, they have to have funding. You know what I'm saying? You said you have guys. Well, they better have funding.
Well, we're all searching for the funding. Unless you want to help us out.
I mean, I can rip off a check for like $400 for you, but I mean, these movies cost a lot of money. Yeah. By the way, I got a buddy who's just killing you right now.
Uh-oh.
You said Pretty Woman's your favorite movie?
One of them.
He wants to know if you also like Ghost.
Hated it.
He also wants to know if you liked Love Actually.
Hated it.
And what about Beaches? You like Beaches?
It's a pretty cool movie.
You saw it?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Come on, man. You think I'm just action and
you're kidding.
Die Hard? Who's
in it?
Ben Midler. Beaches?
I think you're right.
I am right. You don't know me, man. And I go Tupac, Phil Collins. I cover it all.
But you don't go Bob Dylan.
That's just the one. Well, I know Chuck Berry, so they're the same. You don't like when I say
no,
that.
That doesn't bother me at all.
But Tim, 22 seasons doing this. This team was a laughing stock, and now it's like old hat.
I did a feature on Tim Roy 22 years ago when I was working for the Contra Costa Times because he had gotten the radio job. And back then, newspapers had a media columnist who would write on what's going on in TV, radio, and well, there wasn't the internet, but writing. And so I remember interviewing
Tim Roy. Was it at the facility or you guys met somewhere?
It was on the phone.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I interviewed him on the phone because he's been to, let me see if I can remember some of the plays. I know he was in Utica, New York.
Utica.
I know he did minor league hockey. And obviously he was with Sacramento before he came here. Hey, Tim, real quick, send your resume so I can tell the people all the places you've been. By the way, Charles Barkley, the noted Golden State Warriors hater, is predicting that they're going to win it. He says nothing can stop them.
He's come full circle.
So the only thing that can stop them is Chernobyl, which was a nuclear accident in Russia. Soviet Union, back in the day.
Was that his material?
He also said earthquakes, like hurricane. What's it going to take to beat the Warriors? You said an earthquake, a hurricane, Chernobyl. What else? Blizzard?
We don't get
Blizzard
that
was
here.
The other
one? Yeah, we don't get that here.
Tornado?
Well, on the road, they could get it.
Tornado, so.
He took a hard fall, KD did.
Yeah, it looked like he hurt his non-shooting wrist, but he said afterwards that that was not a big deal. I guess Andre Iguodala is going to be a game-time decision. Not that you want to get into the nitty-gritty of the schedule, but, you know, tough little start to the season for the Warriors.
Sunday.
They go to Utah, then they go to Denver. Michael Malone. Good for Michael Malone. He just got an extension. He's one of the league's good guys, Michael Malone.
He's got something going in Denver.
They got to make the playoffs.
They had it in their hands. Who'd they lose to? It was last game of the season.
Well, who'd the Warriors play?
They played. There, you a bad dude.
Who'd the Warriors play in the first round last year?
I'm getting it's that age thing, man.
They didn't play the Timberwolves.
No, it was Minnesota.
They did?
No, Minnesota played Houston.
No, it was the Spurs.
The Spurs.
It was the Spurs, right?
No, but that's not who played for the last game. It was the game before the last game.
Yeah, but the
it was Denver. Remember,
Denver did not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and they choked against
T-Wolves.
There you go. You a bad dude.
You know what? That's how you know the Warriors are ridiculously good. You can't even remember all the teams they beat. I couldn't. Yeah, you know, I was going to say, well, they beat New Orleans. They beat New Orleans in the first round, and then you would have said, no, that was the second round last year. Oh, that's right. It was the year before that. No, it was 2 years before that when Curry made the shot from the corner. I mean, this team's a joke. This team really is.
That's why I'm willing to say best start when D-Cuz, I call him D-Cuz, the best start in five ever. I was going to run that by Tim, but then that would have sounded too internet-ish.
Well,
give me a better starting five. I go Lakers, Celtics, but Dennis Johnson, RIP, I love him to death.
Hall of Fame, Dennis Johnson. And you know what?
No, he doesn't. Dennis Johnson in Seattle was better than Dennis Johnson in Boston. Because as a young kid, I watched him. Give me that.
No, I'm not going to give
you
that.
They won the finals in Seattle. They beat the Washington Bullets. That's I watched great. Every game.
That's great. That's great.
But Dennis Johnson was younger.
Larry Bird called Dennis Johnson the greatest player he's ever played with.
Did Bird say that?
Conversation over. Conversation. You know, here's the other thing.
No, I've never heard Bird. Did Bird say that?
Yes, he did say that.
Damn.
Here's the other thing. People won't like to hear this. Dennis Johnson could defend.
Oh, he was bad. He was a bad
in a
dude.
Big way. So I know it's easy to say, well, let's compare the teams. Dennis Johnson and Curry. Oh, Curry's a million times better.
I guess that's where
I was
going.
A million times better. Dennis Johnson's in the Hall of Fame, and Dennis Johnson is one of the best defensive point guards in the NBA. I'm not saying I'd take him over Curry.
Right, right.
But I just don't like the, Curry. Curry's would eat Dennis Johnson alive. No, he wouldn't.
Recency bias.
Ainge at two. Obviously, Klay Thompson's better.
Yeah.
Bird at three. Bird better than Durant.
Did you say what you want to spit?
I'm just waiting to see. Larry Bird was better than Kevin Durant. Could do more. Rebounded better.
But he wasn't faster.
So how does that translate? I mean, so what if you're fast?
Bird averaged more rebounds, more assists.
Dude, we should put that on the poll. Oh, well, we know KD would win that going away.
Of course he would. Of course
not in Boston.
Kevin McHale or Draymond Green?
Did you see what Dre had on yesterday?
Let me tell you something. Here's something Warriors fans will not like to hear. Draymond would have his hands full with McHale on the low block. Come on now.
Yeah, but when McHale brought that ball down.
He never brought it down. He never brought it down. I don't think it would be good to watch. I don't think Draymond could handle McHale.
I'm going to fire it up on 2K. I'm going to tell my son to play with the all-time, and I'll do the...
Who's better, you or your son, in the game?
The Suns.
Well, then let him play McHale. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I'll take a screenshot, let you know how it goes.
McHale. I mean, listen, the reason I say that
you got me.
Draymond Green is one of the best defenders I've ever seen.
There you go.
He has the most trouble, as you would figure, with guys who are bigger and have a lot of skill with their back to the basket.
Carmelo used to give it to him a little bit.
I mean, it only makes sense that would be, those would be the toughest guys for Draymond to guard. And then what about Cousins or Parrish?
I love the Chief.
We got to see what Cousins
has. And the Chief love the Chief.
Because if DeMarcus Cousins isn't 100%, then
maybe
we're
being proactive here. Everybody's 100. So I'm going with D-Cuz.
We'll see. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to say it's the greatest starting five ever, it's like
Robert Parrish should be in jail for the hit he laid on Laimbeer. The real hit.
He should have been rewarded. But he should have been rewarded.
That was one of the most violent they let him go. He got off scot-free.
That's because
he could have killed Laimbeer.
That's right.
With the open fist.
Everybody hates Laimbeer. And rightfully so.
Phil Handy told you I was the black Bill Laimbeer, meaning I controlled the court. And if he came down my lane and I wasn't feeling it.
What would you do? Cheap shot? Just like Laimbeer?
No, it'd be a hard foul. Yes, Donnie. Oh, 34.
Who's 34?
That's my number. I wore it in Logan, and as I got older and better, 34 meant something to me. That meant you were coming to play, and that's how I played. I was really Penny Hardaway, but I wore 34.
But you're not in high school anymore, so you don't really have a number anymore. You know what I mean?
I got an old jersey and a tank top. It's 34
so
when I played for a league.
If I would have seen you at 21 years old,
boy,
you would have said, yeah, I'm number 34.
Yeah.
And I'd said, well, just like Charles Barkley, well, who he play for? And you'd say, well, I'm playing City League basketball right now. Well, you don't have a number. You don't have a number in City League games, all right? Rec League games. You get the number they give you. You just happen to get 34, I'll bet.
No, I earned it.
Was that the best number?
No, when you wear 34, and my sons wear it, you play down low. You wear your hard hat. You pack a lunch.
Where does that come from? Is that a staple in your family?
No, every 34, you know. Walter Payton, Errol Campbell, Charles Barkley, they brought it.
I tell you what.
Numbers mean something to me, man.
Right, and I'll find 48 34s.
Give me three that weren't worth a nickel.
I got to go to
research. Right, it'll take a little time. 34 special, man.
I bet you right now. We got 3 minutes. Okay, text line, have at it. Who wore number 34 who stinks?
Not too many. I gave you two Hall of Famers right there.
I don't know. By the way, 5:30 tonight. 5:30 tonight. Richard Sherman, he will be on with Damon Bruce.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Because he doesn't bite his tongue.
No,
that's what you want.
He doesn't.
And Damon, you know, he pros with the best of them. Like what? Because that penalty they called on Sherman was BS. That's what's wrong with football.
Sherman was diplomatic about it.
No, but he's a professional.
Why is that wrong? Well, what's wrong with football?
Because it cost the Niners the game.
You know what, though? A lot of.
And it was a sack. So even if you want to. You know what? The guy got sacked.
It didn't cost him the game. It hurt him. It wasn't the sole reason. But.
Chris Mills wore 34.
Chris Mills? Chris Mills is a killer. He doesn't fit. I mean, Chris
on
Mills,
the court or off the court? Because I know Chris would get
Mills
after
is tough.
It.
Yeah. Chris Mills is a tough player. Really tough player.
Big Poppy wore 34.
Okay.
Shaq. Okay, what are you going?
Shaq. I thought you were talking about players who are motivated.
Dude, he had a three-peat. He's arguably the best.
He didn't. Shaq did not play hard all the time. He's like Manny Machado. He's like Manny Machado.
Dude, you don't believe this stuff, man.
Dude, your favorite player said he was lazy. Kobe Bryant. So who do you believe, Kobe or Shaq? You never even thought about that,
no,
did you?
Shaq was so good.
He didn't have to practice.
He would score 100 if he was motivated.
He actually never scored 100.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He could never score 100 points in a game ever in a million years because he can't make foul shots. And the reason Chamberlain scored 100 that night was because he went 28 for 32 from the line.
All right, you got it. You go dial up those Sacramento Kings, Chris Webber, Vlade Divac Kings against Kobe and Shaq's Lakers. It's some of the best Shaquille O'Neal you'll ever see. Some of the best basketball by a big man that big. That's all, man.
Hey, great player. Great player. Left some talent on the table.
J.R. Ryder, 34, East Bay Dunk. Funk Dunk.
That's a guy we've been trying to work on getting the show.
I call him a friend.
Well, then, how about if he answers a text? Tell you what, he answers a text, I'll call him your friend.
I'm going to get him for us.
He doesn't answer your texts.
What?
Papa and Bonte are next. We're going to wait for J.R. Ryder's text in the meantime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.